to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priest who sing your praise.
Hello, my name is Shane Eidelman, and I'm the pastor of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California. It is my personal heart and goal for you to see truth through a biblical perspective. I hope that you enjoy this segment of Eidelman Unplugged.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Eidelman Unplugged. I am your host, Luke Duncan, and on this episode of Eidelman Unplugged, we will be featuring Pastor Shane and his wife, Morgan, during a recent question and answer session about marriage held at Westside Christian Fellowship. This segment is part two of a three-part series, so be sure to listen to the other segments after you've finished listening to this episode.
So, how's it really like...
Yeah.
How's it really like living with Shane?
Yeah. Where did that one go? Yeah. What's it like being married to Shane? And it's funny because I do read between those lines. Some people, I think, genuinely are curious, but I usually get the sensing of two different types of people. The first one is the type of people who aren't a big fan of the ministry or of Shane or whatever.
There's people like that out there?
And so when they're asking, I see it all over their face. What they're really asking is, isn't it so horrible? Don't you like never have any fun? And don't you like just get scripture beaten over your head all day? And isn't just the worst thing ever? How do you live with that guy? And then there's a whole nother group of people who are like, he's so spirit-filled. What's it like living with him? It must be cloudy all day, or, you know, walking on clouds. And there's never poopy diapers from the kids, and it must be so amazing.
That was a good
and
one.
And I just laugh. And I'm just like, you know, I think my answer is, what's it like being married to him is very similar as what it's like being married to your spouse. There are some amazing, amazing days, and there are some very hard days. It's the same, you could ask him the same question, what's it like being married to me? I'm no walk in the park either. You know what I mean? So... I feel like that question could really get thrown back on anyone. Yes, he's a strong leader, strong personality, which is amazing, and that's what I need. And then other days, less than amazing, I guess. So I would say it's amazing being married to him. It's not perfect, and it's not always a walk in the park. But I don't think that's specific to us. I think you could all say the same thing. So.
Yeah. And with the big confusion, I think, with a lot of people is how I preach to the masses is not how I act on an individual level.
Repent, you little sinner.
What did you say?
Repent, you little sinner.
Yeah, repent, you little sinner. I'll dance around with them a little bit, dance around with the kids, play with the kids.
The kids fall off their chair laughing. When he gets laughing and like really laughing, it's hard to stop. And then the kids like practically fall out of their chairs laughing at him laughing. So it's not like we just sit at home all day
and to be
doing whatever people think.
To be honest with you, this could be an encouragement. I'm not doing really good in this area with devotional time and teaching my kids scriptures right now, to be honest with you. It's something I need to work on. We tried it. I think the devil comes against it every chance he gets. You can have, hey, tonight family at dinner, we're going to talk about Disneyland. Oh, there'd be no problems. But as soon as you want to open up the Bible, all hell seems to break loose. So, and I'm kind of careful that I could invest scriptures into their life more. But I don't want to come across as that, you know, that angry father at home. I've never said you have to submit. I've never said you have to respect me. I never quote Ephesians 5. I don't quote verses to use them at the kids. But that would be my downside, is I probably could be better in this area of, because I'm so exhausted when work's over, and sometimes I feel like my time with the kids is like, it should be the when I have the highest amount of energy, when I spend time with the Lord in the morning. Who we are here is who we are at home. We don't try to put on different masks and different things. But I don't, how I preach and how I'm hard at preaching, that's really a calling. That's what God gifted me in that area. He anointed me to have that type of ministry like John the Baptist, that calling the nation back. I eat, breathe that. I have books on the side of our bed, piles of them. And I just love revival. I love God awakening his people because that's my heartbeat. But when I'm at home, you know, it's riding bikes or playing or doing things with the kids. It's not, I don't preach to them at all.
But I think he's harder on himself. We might not sit down as often as we can in like full on devotion. But it's constantly talked about throughout our home. When you're lying down, when you're rising up, they wake up and they catch dad, on his knees, you know, 4 a.m. if someone wakes up to go to the bathroom, or, they catch us talking about a scripture and different things. So I don't think it's...
I wish I could do more. Yeah. If you ever done a devotion with little kids, you probably feel the same way. It's hard. So that would be one thing you could pray for us, what that looks like. You know, spend more time. But they do get... It's character qualities and teaching them. I mean, I walked out of Dick's a month and a half ago with something in my hand. And Shane said, "Oh, Dad, you didn't pay for that." I'm like, "Oh, that's right." My mind wasn't even on getting anything. It's like, "Oh, that's a good example. Let's go back." Or if they give me too much money back, or if we stop and talk to someone and buy them food. So there's learning throughout the whole week that we're investing in them. One of our daughters goes to the hospital homes as she comes to the morning worship. She's up at 4:30 in the morning on Sunday, and she comes here, praise God. For now, I know that, you know, that could change as she gets older. But so we do see them growing, right? Okay. I won't say that either. You're right. We shouldn't talk like that. All right. I think we kind of covered this one. What do you do when you find out you're wrong about something? How easy is it for you to apologize and admit, correct the wrong you've done to others? And that's only question four, so we probably have to go pretty quick.
Okay. I think it's easier to say you're sorry when you realize that the offense is against the Lord. So yes, maybe sometimes I've done something, I've wronged him, and if I realize that it's wrong, it's not always easy to, you know, eat that humble pie and go and apologize. But if I try and fight it, and then I'm out of God's will, then it's easier for me to say, okay, I prefer to be right with the Lord and, you know, take on a little bit of humility to apologize than to kind of stay out of...
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm on the same boat. I would say, how easy is it for you to apologize and admit you're wrong to the other? I think we're both pretty good at that. You know, saying, "Hey, I missed this. I didn't understand," and you want to jump on that quickly. How do you keep that balance in your family to prioritize Christ in Christian holidays? This probably could have been a question we waited on because there's other priority ones. Let me try to come back to that one. Morgan, how do you deal with situations that I don't understand as a man? Like if you're pregnant, maybe? Or...
When I saw that question, I was hoping for more of maybe an example. The only thing I could think of that came to mind was like pregnancy, postpartum depression, which I struggled with, more so with one of the kid than the other four. And that verse, you know, "For men, dwell with your wives with understanding." I think it's a good thing for you to seek to understand your wife, to try and hear the heart and hear where she's coming from. But there are some things that, I mean, there was a time, I think in this last pregnancy that I like had to have, I don't even remember. Let's just say a cheeseburger, even though it wasn't because I couldn't do meat this time.
Or chocolate.
On this one. But it was like, I have to have it. I have to have it now. And he's like, "Well, just eat something else. You know, it's fine. Like, it's 11 o'clock at night." I'm like, "I have to have it now." You know, like, "You don't understand. It's a real thing." Or like nesting before the baby was born and I was nesting. And I'm like, "You don't get it. I cannot not organize these things. I can't not do it." You know, so just trying, I guess, to... help him understand, and knowing at the same time, really, Jesus is the only one who's going to fully ever really get me. If you asked that question and you had a more specific thing in mind, ask me later.
And there's some single questions here too for singles, so we're going to maybe come back to those in a minute. What does being a spiritual leader look like? To me, I think we covered some of that earlier about leading by example. Mm-hmm. Doing what you don't feel like doing, admitting you're wrong, showing character in your home.
can I give an example real quick?
Sure.
Like a practical example. Every time after I had one of the kids, it's hard to get your quiet time in. Like it just is hard to be in the Word and different things, and you try and you've got screaming baby and all these kind of things. So he recognized within the last few months, he kind of recognized that I wasn't in the Word as much as I should be, because it's very apparent when you're not in God's Word and your mood is going haywire. So we had an opportunity to go out on a date. Someone's going to come over and hang out with the kids. And instead of like, hey, let's go to dinner, or hey, are there any good movies on? He's like, hey, why don't we go read our Bibles at the office and bring some books? And I was like,
it was fun, though.
Actually, that's a great idea. And I was so excited, which sounds, you know, maybe funny because it's like our one chance to go on a date. But those couple hours flew by. Like, it was just so great to sit and be able to read and just kind of talk together and stuff. So I think that's a good example of a spiritual leader. He recognized that I was floundering a little bit and I needed to kind of be pulled back in.
And then I was reading, we were talking about what we were learning. That was about 3 hours worth of, so you have to prioritize. Did a movie and popcorn sound better to the flesh? But once we you know, started, it was fun. Actually time flew by very quickly. How do you affair-proof your marriage? Yeah, so how do you affair-proof your marriage? I will say this, though. We're both pretty open and transparent about this. You know, if there's any, she'll say, hey, this guy sent me a message on Facebook.
Well, we actually have a joint account. So the one time that did happen, you actually saw it before I did, and you went ahead and let him know that you saw it.
I said, I'd love to get lunch with you. And we're also...
I think sharing accounts is good. I recommend it. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, if you can't trust me, there's that. And it's like, well, if I can trust you, why don't you want to share the account then? So I don't know. For us, that works, and it's huge accountability. And I know how crafty and deceiving the enemy is, and I know what he wants to do to the marriage. And so I'm not giving him any, opportunities.
And having the phones available, passwords, you can look in it whenever you want. There's no, and hey, there was times, I think 2012, I'll never forget that time, where because she said, I'm feeling really, I'm just feeling discontent and we need to connect again. We're kind of drifting apart. So if you identify it, you bring it up and you can talk about it and then make the correction course to get back on track with the marriage. So it's not, the affair happens in secrecy. When you keep things hidden, whether it's Facebook or email or at work, and you keep it hidden. But if you bring something to the light and you say, if a husband's at work and is like, I'm really attracted with this person. I gotta find a different job or something. Or somebody says, hey, I'm attracted. We go to this Bible study and I'm attracted to this guy there or something. And you kind of be, that did happen to us. That's why she's laughing. We weren't even married, I don't think, were we? We were just dating.
I don't remember, actually.
I think we were dating, right? I don't know. But she was really attracted to one of the guys at the Bible study. So I'm like, well, that's not going to work. Jeez Louise.
So embarrassing.
That's okay. That's just a normal. Aren't you guys
glad
creation. I said that?
That's creation. I don't know.
the whole point was being honest and open and transparent and say, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. And not letting it hide in darkness. And it might hurt a little bit to expose it. So if a husband says, hey, I'm struggling, some things have popped up. I think it's been a couple of years, but if something popped up on my computer, and this, I tell her, hey, this popped up on the computer this morning. She goes, okay, we talk. So it's not having this secret little life on the side that nobody knows. It's just being transparent and letting God work through that. So
yeah,
I think that's the biggest thing.
That kind of goes along with this question, how do you pray for a dead marriage? And there was a time, like he was talking about around 2012, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's been quite a while now. But I was in a place where I hadn't been in the Word a lot. I just was kind of, my relationship with Jesus was floundering a little bit. And
the church just started, so that brought a whole new.
Yeah, and when that starts to happen, good things never come of that. I grew very apathetic, like I just didn't care anymore. I could care less if he came or went. And this is, he knows all this already, so. But it was getting to the point where I just was done. I was just done, to be honest. And I kind of struggled with the Lord because I'm like, everyone else is getting divorced. You got all these other Christians getting divorced. Why can't I just go and file? But I had enough fear of the Lord in me that said, no, you can't do that. So I remember telling the Lord one time in prayer, I'm like, I don't care who it is, me or him, but you got to take one of us. I can't do this for another 50 years, and I have no biblical grounds for a divorce, so I know I'm not going to do that, but I don't want to just live as roommates for the rest of my life. And that's just how done, you know, that I was. And so the question, how do you pray for a dead marriage? I just started praying, God, I can't even hold on to you. You got to hold on. Like, you got to take this, and you got to do something with it. I can't continue like this, and I have no other option but you. And so it wasn't a situation. I know there's some dead marriages due to, like, so many different circumstances. Ours wasn't any sort of, like, sin issue or anything like that. It was just life and my kind of backtracking away from the Lord a little bit. I mean, I was still a Christian. I just wasn't, you know, really on fire. And
the setting was, too, we had just two little kids, and the church just started, and that brought on a lot of challenges, a lot of pressure. We were hurt by a lot of people in ministry. I know it's hard to believe, but the kids, I'm tense, and she's not in the Word. I'm kind of just going my own, doing my own thing, and the enemy will come in and use that as a wedge and capitalize and start planting thoughts. Like, well, look at this guy or look at this situation. But I miss the whole point of how do you affair-proof your marriage. It really begins with your devotional life, your time spent with God in prayer, in reading the Word, and living the Christian, the Spirit-filled life. That's the best way to affair-proof your marriage. And then these other things I talked about, that's icing on the cake. Because accountability software won't stop an affair. It's a good thing to do, but your heart has to be right. And she brought that up to me in 2011. I don't remember when it was, but it hit me like a ton of bricks. Whew. But then we...
Yeah, he was actually getting ready to do the first marriage series.
Jim, you heard that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was getting ready to...
First one. You've done a couple since then.
Yeah.
And I remember we were going on an anniversary trip, and he didn't know how... He knew things were kind of funky, but I don't think he realized the extent of how just low I was at that point. And I remember driving on that 2.5-hour drive going, again, enough fear that you just need a little bit of that, you know, fear of the Lord to stay in you, to kind of light that fire. And it was like, you are not going to let that man go up there and do a marriage series feeling like this. Like, that is just a slap in the face to God, I felt. So I had to kind of do the hard thing and just kind of spill it and tell him everything that I was feeling, mm-hmm. and things that,
and then
was,
we,
you know.
Then we prayed. And the trip was better after that, for sure. So I know we prayed, and I didn't get upset. I was really just wounded. But remember, a lot of it is how we were raised. You've heard my testimony. I was raised in a home. My dad was very angry, and boy, you don't cry. There's no emotions. It's driven. It's hardworking. You just plow forward and you move forward. You work hard and you take that into marriage. And here I am. I'm going 100 miles an hour. We planted this church, and I'm just failing to see that she's dying spiritually. So God used that to really revive the marriage at that point. I think that was probably a turning point for sure. What has been your most difficult issue to work through?
I would say that actually changes with seasons. Like, sometimes it's been finances. When he was in construction and the market just tanked and it was like all of a sudden we had no money. Probably at that season it was finances. Having kids, for sure, at different points, or how to handle the kids, how to discipline, different things like that. Communication, I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, it's different seasons. What's been the most difficult issue to work through? I mean, at first it was kids. It's funny because you have that first child and you're like so protective. You know, now the fifth one, we're like, let her crawl on the floor. She won't get sick. So I think for me, the first baby was, planting the church was hard. So there's different seasons. So I don't think there's something that stands out.
A hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found.
If you've enjoyed this segment of Idleman Unplugged, be sure to send us your topics and questions for future episodes of the podcast. You can shoot us an email at westsidechristianfellowship.org or shaneidleman.com. Again, my name is Luke Duncan, and I am your host of Idleman Unplugged. Thank you for listening to us today, and join us again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Idleman Unplugged. For more information, visit us at shaneidleman.com. Again, that's shaneidleman.com. El Paseo Publications proudly supports the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network. We are committed to quality and Christian publication. Free ebooks can be found at westsidechristianfellowship.org under free ebooks. Books such as What Works for Men and What Works for Young Adults will help readers understand that the obstacles ahead are never greater than God's power to take you through. Books such as What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting demonstrate how health can be achieved from a biblical perspective. Other free books such as Answers for a Confused Church and Desperate for More of God show the importance of fully surrendering our lives to Christ. And One Nation Above God is a must read for anyone concerned about the direction of America. Again, free downloads of these ebooks are available at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We are happy about partnering with the Westside Christian Fellowship Radio Network.